Welcome everyone to the webinar. Welcome Stafford as well. You sounds like you've had a busy day today, so delighted you could join us for this webinar. Last in the winter series, talking about how sport and elite sport or any sport really can help with well-being, but also for you as a farmer's son and potentially a farmer of the past and a farmer of the future. It's great to have you joining FarmStrong here tonight. And I know you've got a lot on your plate at the moment. It's an interesting time to be talking to a rugby player, especially one with Six Nations ahead and things like that. So we'll maybe touch a little bit on that. But Stafford, if you could introduce yourself, it would be great to learn a little bit more about who you are and where you come from.
Thanks very much for having me on. It's great to be here and to be supporting FarmStrong again. I'm Saf McDowell. I'm currently a professional rugby player. I'm living in Glasgow, playing for the Glasgow Warriors, and currently part of the Scotland men's national team. I come from a farming background, down in the southwest of Scotland, just outside Castledouglas and Cockburn. I was born and raised on a dairy farm. Where I lived for the first kind of 16, 17 years of my life. And then I moved up to Edinburgh for my last 2 years of school, Merkeston Castle School, where I was lucky enough to go to boarding school for a couple of years. Before then, moving back home when I left school, I deferred from uni for a year to work for a year on the farm with my dad, which was a great experience. And then I was lucky enough to be given a chance to join the Glasgow Warriors Academy in 2018, where I've been since. So it's flown by the last 7 years to the point where I am now.
Very good. That is fantastic. And was pro rugby always the sort of dream, do you think?
I would say it was always a dream. There was definitely points where I didn't think it was going to be a reality, or I wasn't really sure. But I think growing up, Dad was always massively into rugby. He had me down at Stewart's Rugby Club when I was 6 or 7 years old. He played rugby to a really high level himself. He played for Ayr, was successful there, and played for Glasgow District back in the day before rugby was professional. So I guess rugby's always been in the family since I've been around, and I was really lucky he gave me that opportunity to get in such a good sport.
Great. Well, Stafford, you don't know, but I used to play for Stewartie Ones when I worked in Dumfries and Galloway. So there's a common rugby link for Stewartie there. So and it's a great club, but it's a very rural club, isn't it? And do you think that link to the farming community is pretty strong?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you went down to the club now, a lot of the well, when I was there as well, a lot of the people I played with came from a farming background. And I think it's pretty similar now that the club has strong farming roots, and that's why it's such a strong club, is that everyone come from similar backgrounds and works a similar day, and then coming together to play rugby together. It makes it a great club.
It does. At the time I was playing in 2001 or whatever, 2000 was a lot of the away games were up in Aberdeen, and a lot of the farming community would say at certain times of year that there was no chance they were going. So if I was in the twos, I would get a promotion to the ones because of a 4-hour bus trip. But rugby is a great sport and something I enjoy massively. There's a real buzz around the sort of season and there's coming together. But I think you're right about rural clubs making that sort of link between different parts of the community. So, and do you think that if do you think farming's played a part in your agriculture, in your farming, in your transition, sorry, to rugby? Some people talk about the physicality of rugby and farming. Is there any benefits or links, do you think?
Yeah, I definitely say so. I think from a young age, just being outdoors and being active, I guess working with animals, lifting stuff up, putting stuff down, it all sounds pretty simple, but I guess it all gives you a pretty strong base for athletic performance. A lot of the movements we do in the gym now, it sounds ridiculous. You can probably emulate on the farm pretty easily, whether that's shooting a silage pit or feeding calves. They can all kind of be copied now in what they call these high performance gym movements. So it definitely has a link across, and I think just being outdoors from a young age, being out on the farm, being out and around with your friend as well in a rural community, it definitely all adds to the ability of sports people. You see it quite a lot, especially in rugby. Quite a lot of pro rugby players do have a background in farming in Scotland as well, and in countries like Ireland, England and Wales.
Yeah, there's some fairly famous members of elite rugby squads that are from farming communities, and I think there is a link. But I suppose What do team sports like rugby bring back to the farming business? You talked about being back at home post school. Did your rugby experience from school help back home?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think to flip that, I think it's more kind of what a sport like rugby can do for the farming community, especially having known being on the farm. You kind of know it can be a bit lonely, long days out on the farm, especially during the dark days of winter. And something I really enjoyed when I worked on the farm. I played for Ayr at the time, and I used to really look forward to the end of a working day to be able to go up to Ayr to training and interact with groups of your mates and stuff like that as well. So obviously we talked about the benefits of farming for rugby, but also the way that kind of rugby could benefit the farming community as well, as it, like we talked about the stewardship, it can really bring a community together and really help people to kind of build friendships and build bonds and kind of get off the farm a little bit and distract themselves.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Now, in the wellbeing series, we're talking about the farming community finding things that work for them, locking it in. It was Mark Gascoigne's one of his phrases. Sam Whitelock talked about that as well. So what are the sort of things that you use to benefit yourself rather than rugby or farming to make sure that you're in a good place throughout the year?
Yeah, I think a lot of people who don't do sport for a living, the answer to this is to get out and exercise. Is to get out in the fresh air, even going to the gym in the morning. It's a little bit different when you play pro sport, because that's what you do every day, and usually pretty sore after it as well. A couple of things I like to do. Like I said, I like to get out with the dog. A couple of us at Glasgow I've got dogs, and on a day off or sometimes after training, we'll try and get up to the park with the dogs, and it's nice just to get out again in the fresh air with no pressure. There's no coach shouting at you. There's no drills to be done or anything like that. And also just eating a good diet is something I really tried to focus on. I'm lucky. My fiance Lauren, she's just got her master's in nutrition, so she runs quite a tight ship here in the flat with knowing I'm a sportsman as well. So they're two really easy things that I think. One, they aren't that hard to do, getting outside after work or before work and taking some fresh air, and also eating a balanced and healthy diet.
Very good. And what's your go-to meal then? There must be a staple in your house that you can cook for her and she can cook for you.
Yeah, so the night before a game, Lauren will always cook a carbonara, just because it's nice and easy, and you get your carbs, you get a bit of protein as well. And when we go on away trips with both Glasgow and Scotland, it's always the pre-match meal the night before. So whether we're playing home and away, it's always the same, which is nice. A good bit of consistency the night before a game as well. Like, try and keep things the same as much as possible. I wouldn't say it's superstition. I could go without it, but if it's there, I'll definitely take it if it's on offer.
Very good. Do you have any superstitions? Have you got a pair of lucky boots or lucky socks or?
I used to have some superstitions. Like I used to have a pair of lucky boxers that I'd wear for a game. Then I lost them one time, so the next week I had to go without them, and then I found that everything was the same. So it kind of made me drop the superstition thing altogether. Like I say, I'll try and have the same food the night before a game, the day of a game. But if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. Like I said, I used to be quite big on it. I think tennis players are really big on it as well, but. And I saw, I read a thing in a book that superstitions are for the unprepared. So I kind of took that, and I was like, I try to prepare the same way during the week every week, and know in my head that I've done everything I can for a match, no matter what the match is. Then I don't really need any superstitions before it.
It's one of those things, isn't it? A lot of people talk about that preparation and you've got your comfort, but it's also means you're in a better position if something does go wrong last minute. You forget your special boxers,
Yeah.
it doesn't derail your whole game.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, that we're quite lucky. We get to work with some really good sports psychologists at Glasgow, both in Scotland, and a lot of the stuff they talk about is your preparation during the week. So then when it comes to game day, or no matter how big, if it's an international or if it's a pre-season game with Glasgow, then you do the exact same prep during the week. So whatever's thrown at you before or during the game, then you're ready to deal with it, and you can fall back on what you've done during the week.
Yeah, no, and I think that's right. Whether it be lambing or calving or harvest time, if a farmer can get themselves into a good place with their system, then when something breaks down, they know how to cope and react. And we talk a lot in Farmstrong about resilience, and it's about being able to cope with those ups and downs because it's not all good news. So let's talk about some of the good stuff. This time of year, what happens? You're in the Glasgow squad. You know that the Six Nations squad's getting a bit of a look in. Are you just waiting for Gregor's number to pop up on your phone as head coach of Scotland, or how does that all work?
Yeah, usually actually you're waiting for one of the coaches that isn't Gregor, because unfortunately for him, because he's head coach, he usually gets the job before and the people that aren't in the squad. So usually if you're in the backs, it's usually Pete Horn, which is funny because I played with him for about 4 years at Glasgow. So he's a good mate of mine. So usually you're hoping for a call from Pete to give you some good news. And this year, thankfully, I got a call from Pete, which is good. It was a bit of a nervous one for me. Unfortunately, I had 3 or 4 weeks where I couldn't play right before the Six Nations. So it was a bit of a nervous wait to see if I'd be in the squad or not. But thankfully they backed me and I got a place in the squad.
Good. Well, good luck as a Scotsman. This is obviously a key moment in the Six Nations because all of our hope is here intact ahead of the game starting. So the best of luck from us all for what's ahead in the few weeks ahead coming. And you talked about that, it's good news when you get the call. How do you deal with when you don't get the call or you don't get picked, whether that be at, Stewartry, Merkeson, Glasgow or Scotland?
Yeah, it's something I do have quite a lot of experience with as well. Maybe I had a year and a half, 2 years at Glasgow post directly post COVID, when I think I played about eight games in 2 years. And it's something that kind of at the start can bog you down quite a lot, especially with something you've not had too much experience with when you're younger, when you've come through age grade teams, when you've probably played quite a lot, and all of a sudden you get into the pro game and you don't play for maybe. I think it was a gap of 7 months when I was fully fit and I didn't play. And I guess it's all about, just at the time, it was like, you're a professional, you've got to learn to deal with it. So it was going to the coaches, what can I do to play? What can I do to get better? Why am I not getting picked? And then from there, taking that advice, trying to implement it into training. If you get sent to play any club rugby, getting to implement it into that. And then also just knowing that if your opportunity does come, you might get one game where you get a chance to play, and you've got to impress these coaches that haven't picked you for the last kind of 6, 7 months. So just knowing you're prepared for the opportunity when it comes.
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because that's a lot of pressure. You're thinking, right, I've only got 80 minutes and I know that they're wanting to see this, but sometimes the game doesn't go your way and give you the opportunity to do the thing that they want to see.
Yeah, definitely. Especially here in Scotland, you could wait 6 months for a game and then you could go out to play, and it could be 40 mile an hour winds and driving rain, and they've told you they want to see an improvement in your kicking and passing game, and you're going, well, it's going to be hard to show it tonight. So, yeah, but all you can do is be most prepared for the opportunity that comes by doing the hard work that gets you in that position to hopefully get a chance to play. Because I mean, there's some people that they get that and they don't get another opportunity, and then they might not get caught kept on at the end of the season. So, just knowing that if an opportunity comes, and you have to be ready to take it.
And you talked about club rugby there. So if you aren't playing for Glasgow, do you sometimes get allocated to a club and go and play on a Saturday?
Yeah. So we all they do kind of like an NFL draft system. So at the start of the season, every Glasgow Warriors pro will be allocated a club in Scotland. Because I played for Ayr before I was pro, Ayr is technically my home club. So I just automatically get allocated to Ayr every year. So yeah, when I just finished under 20, so the first 2 years I'd play for Ayr quite a lot. I'd play for Ayr more than Glasgow in those first kind of couple seasons. And I loved it because I already knew everyone at Ayr. I knew the coach really well. He was at the time there was an ex-Ayr player, and then after that it was who is now the Glasgow Warriors defence coach, Pete Murchie. So I had a really good relationship with him. So I knew that when I went down, you were playing in a decent team who wanted to win, and it's good to go be able to go back to the Warriors coaches and show them that you've been playing.
Yeah, and I think all sports match fitness and gym fitness is different from match fitness and match sharpness, so that's good. Now, you've spoken a lot about preparing for rugby and all that sort of stuff and making sure you're prepared. Is there anything that farmers do you think could take from professional sports back to their businesses? Is there things that they could be doing in a similar vein that you think, well, I've learned this from pro sport and pro sport psychologists and some of the best in the business that so I would say to your friends and family that are farming?
I'd say one thing from pro sport, potentially, that I've learned a little bit as well, working with dad and looking towards life after rugby, is like, for example, if we play a game at Glasgow and and we play against a team and we really struggle to defend against that team, and we saw they're doing something really well that we're not doing, then they'll have no problem with looking at what that team's doing and learning from them. And potentially something I think maybe farmers could do is just looking at what other farmers are doing and discussing that and saying, having open conversations and saying, well, I've started doing this is working really well for me. I've seen really good results, and having those open conversations or being open-minded about changing what you do in order to get better results or make your life easier or make your staff's life easier.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. It's about that openness to trying new stuff. And I think that's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of people get frustrated by being second to somebody. But actually, if you can say, they did this to us, how do we learn from it? That's a good way to turn it around. So if there's a T junction and farming was turning left and rugby was turning right, at age 18, you sounded like you were pretty keen to turn to rugby. Now, if that decision was again there, is it still rugby for as long as you can possibly do it, or are you starting to think about farming?
I don't think it'll be as long as I can possibly do it. I think I've obviously had discussions with Dad about turning the other way in that junction as well. So look, I know that obviously rugby is a pretty physical game. You can be bashed up from it, and it can obviously there's more and more studies coming out now about the lasting effects of some of these injuries people are getting. And you know, with rugby, it's that type of sport where you're only one injury away from it being over. And I know that sounds cliche to say, but it is the truth, and I have seen it happen to players. So I think it's the type of game that I love it, and I want to keep playing it, especially at the moment when things are going well and you get the chances to be part of Six Nations squads and go on summer tours. But I also know in my head that I kind of want to walk away from the game and in a good physical position and know that kind of I didn't try and drag it out as long as I could, and my body will pay for it later on in life. So it's definitely something I want to find the right balance in as well.
A sweet spot. As they say, very few sportsmen and women get to choose their exit point. So if you can do that. What you touched on there about winning games but also losing games. What I think it was Federer that said that, no matter how long he was at number one or two in the world, he still lost more of his actual games of tennis than you ever win. And it's the same in golf. You have to get used to it. So if you're so competitive, how do you get into the mindset of accepting defeat?
It's tough because our coach at Glasgow doesn't really accept defeat very easily. I think it was last season we were on a run where I think we won 11 games in a row. And then every Monday we'd come in, he'd tell us you don't need to lose to learn. So he was just adamant that we would keep winning. But obviously, it's such a competitive sport and all the teams are so good that at some point you're going to lose. And I think it's just what I touched on earlier, is you've got to be willing to adapt and willing to learn and willing to overcome. The amount of times in a season we'll change tactics or change the way we do something in the gym or change the way we structure our week because we're finding that that's working better, or look, we were performing really well and we did one thing, let's go back to doing that. So I think part of it is being adaptable to what goes on around you, but also just on the day, kind of, well, a team might just play really well. It's like I think I heard one of the England players talk about a couple of years ago that we're talking about like 1 or 2% off. And then a team like the teams are so closely balanced. If you're 1 or 2% off, you can get blown away by a top quality team. So I guess it's just learning from those mistakes as well.
Good. So you've talked about having a good season, 11 wins in a row. Any rugby highlights that you want to share with us?
I think in the autumn, getting to captain Scotland at Murrayfield is definitely that'll be my rugby highlight. I think hopefully probably for the rest of my life. It's something a couple of years ago. But I was potentially stopping rugby that I never thought I'd get the chance to play for Scotland, never mind captain Scotland Murrayfield. So I think that obviously the game was really special, but being able to run out and have all your family and stuff there and your partner as well, it was just, yeah, it was such a surreal day. And I think even now I've probably not fully thought back and kind of looked back at the experience, but I'm hoping that I guess maybe one of these things when I retire and I've hopefully got the jersey framed on the wall, that'll be something I'll be able to look back and smile at.
Yeah, no, I think during the podcast you actually said that you were keen to run out at Murrayfield, so that ticked off that one. And I think, yeah, it's that memory, isn't it? I saw some photos of you and your dad with the trophy, and it's great to see a bit of silverware and to have your paws on it. So well done for that. Six Nations ahead. Obviously Scotland have got work to do. You guys are excited about it. What does that do for the nerves of the transition from camp from Glasgow to over to Oriam or wherever Scotland are based? Is that a change of mindset, or do you just bring all your tools from the Glasgow game?
No, there definitely is a change in mindset. There's definitely a bit of a change in intensity as well. I think when you go into international camp, you're obviously everyone knows what the pressure of a test match is, knows how big the Six Nations is. I think it's definitely the biggest outside the World Cup, the biggest rugby tournament there is in the world at the moment. So I think everyone knows that's at the back of everyone's mind, and they know there's only five games to get it right. So if you start slow, then you can't really catch up nowadays. It slipped away from you. So I think everyone gets that, and you can see that in training when everyone comes in as well. Everyone wants to play for Scotland, to play at Murrayfield, and to play in these big games. So there's definitely a raise in intensity.
Yeah, we're going to see you on Netflix. Are they filming behind the scenes of this webinar for Full Contact or
The camera's actually just out there now. I don't think they're actually doing it this year.
Okay.
The one from so they do it a year in advance. So the one from last year, Six Nations, is just coming out now. I haven't seen any Netflix cameras around, whether they're only maybe starting next week or not. I'm not sure, but there hasn't been any this week.
Great. Well, it's exciting times, and we wish you all the best. So, how would you describe your relationship with farming? Is it a love? Is it a passion? Is it a sort of itch you've got to scratch, or what is it?
I'd say I'm hoping it's going to be, it's relatively undiscovered at the moment. As I say, like I've been pretty open about what my experience has been with farming so far, and how different my route to farming might be to some other people's. I say I grew up on the farm, and I loved growing up on the farm. It was amazing. And then I spent that year there. I had a place to study agriculture at Newcastle, and I deferred it to go home for a year and trying to give rugby a crack while playing for a year. So obviously I learned a lot in that year, and I really enjoyed it, and that kind of lit the flame for me. But then I went down this other path where I got the chance to play do the job that I dreamed of, and what a lot of people dreamed of, and so I'm really thankful to my dad. He gave me the opportunity to take that dream on, and I never really thought, I don't think either of us maybe thought at that time that it would lead to where it's lead now, but it has, and I kind of got the opportunity to fulfill that dream for so many years. So the love and stuff of farming, it's something that's probably a little bit further down the road, but it's something that's definitely growing in me. Growing me all the time now that I've made the decision to come home and farm once I finish playing rugby.
Yeah, and I suppose the interesting thing is you'll be able to watch other people retiring from the sport, going and doing different careers, and learn from them as well.
Yeah, definitely. Looks like when I first joined at Glasgow, Alex Dunbar was there, and he's gone into a career in farming now with his wife Lois. So there's people who have transitioned into a similar job after doing a similar job to me, and there's they say a lot of people in the rugby world kind of go into more of the corporate world when they retire.
Yeah.
But now you see people are definitely expanding into different roles. So there'll only be more people to learn from, and more people to question about this type of thing.
Great. One of the questions just come in from James. How will your work around mindset and resilience help you on the farm, do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be massive. I know from speaking to dad and from being on the farm myself that not every day is sunshine, and there is tough days. And sometimes when you speak to dad on the phone, he's talking you through kind of some of these challenges that you go through. And I think definitely having that pro sport work around mindset and resilience, it's something that we go through every day, whether you're getting an injury, whether you're not being selected that week, even something like one of your mates has been injured and he can't play for 2 or 3 months, and you've got to try and help him as well. So I'm hoping that's going to be one of the things I can really transfer across into farming, and something that really helped me in my farming career.
And a lot of people in sports talk about that sort of physio room when you are in the long-term injured camp. Through the glass door, there's the full team doing the run through for Saturday, and there's you guys doing your rehab on a bike or whatever it may be. How do you get that mindset? Because I think in farming, quite often there'll be people who are struggling, but they don't necessarily see where they are in the struggle.
The physio room is at Glasgow is almost a little bit cursed. Like, you don't want to go in there. You want to be in there as little as possible, because they say the more time you spend in there, the more time you end up spending in there with injuries. So I try to stay out of there as much as possible. But injuries are part of the game. I think the longer I've been a pro, the more I've had to accept that injuries are part of the game, and you see them happen to people at the worst times, when you least expect them as well. So, yeah, the RTP boys, they have it really tough, especially kind of. There's been a couple of boys at Glasgow who've had some pretty bad knee injuries in the last year. So I think one of them's not played for 14 months, and he lives and breathes rugby. That's all he wants to do is be out on the training pitch and play. So it's kind of coming into training, and you might be having a really good day, and you walk by the physio room, and they're really struggling, and it's kind of being able to pick them up and make sure they're all right as well.
So do you think you've got a bit more empathy around that now than you did have?
Yeah, definitely. I've touch wood, I've been really lucky about with injuries. I've had a couple shoulder knocks and a knee knock. I actually had a bit of a knock when I think the fourth last game of last season, I sliced my hand open out in South Africa, and it ended up getting infected on the way home on the plane. So I spent 3 days in the hospital, having an operation on my hand and making sure the infection didn't come back. And that ruled me out the rest of the season, and the team went all the way to the final and won the championship. So I'd played quite a lot in that season and was feeling really good. And then all of a sudden I couldn't play for the rest of the season, and I was so happy that we went on and won the league. And it's, even though I didn't play, it's probably my second best rugby memory behind Captain Scotland, very close behind Captain Scotland. So, but I didn't even play in the game. It was one of the best moments, but also one of the toughest moments, because you might have been out there doing it with them and being on the pitch, and you didn't get the opportunity. So once you've had an experience of that, you can definitely empathize more with people who are going through it.
Yeah, there's a few people asking a little bit about the farm. So what are you thinking of going home to? You know, we know it's down in the southwest.
Yeah, so it's a dairy unit. We're milking about 1,100 cows at the moment. So it's something that's grown a lot over the last, I guess, 10 to 15 years. When I was growing up, it was a much smaller dairy unit on a different part of the farm. And then Dad took the decision to build a new unit up at Shaw Hill, kind of closer to our house. And then it's just kind of grown. It started off at about 300, and then it's grown to the point where it's at 1,100. So, yeah, Dad's done amazingly with it to be able to get it to where the point and where he's at, and then to be able to, I'm so lucky to be able to take the business on, hopefully in a few years in such a strong position when he's done an amazing job.
And did that put pressure on you to go back and farm? You know, I've made this big investment and I've grown the business. If he'd gone from 300 cows to 150, you could have said, "Oh, that's not for me." Or do you not feel any pressure?
No, yeah, Dad's been amazing with it. He's kind of said that maybe potentially when he was growing up, that his dad wasn't that keen on rugby when he was kind of when he was playing to a reasonably high level. Well, if it had been professional, it would have been the equivalent of professional at the time. His dad was always more focused on him coming home to farm. So Dad was always said, look, if you get the opportunity to live out your dream and go and play pro rugby, I'm never going to stop you from doing it. And he's also, now that I've taken the decision to come home, just kind of said that this to build this dairy unit in this way was my dream. And if it's not your dream, then the farm will be yours, but you don't need to continue it in the way it's been run. So, like, he's been amazing and taking all the pressure, and that's definitely helped with my rugby as well. Because if I was sitting up here thinking, planning all the time about what I was going to be doing when I got home, then it could potentially distract from what I'm doing in my current job. So, yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better way to be able to kind of transition into farming life.
Good. And talking to your dad, you talked about how he helped with coaching for a long time. Do you think that was an important part of his sort of well-being for being off the farm? I'm sure coaching junior rugby is not always good for your well-being, but was that something that he did to, you know, to have that balance, do you think?
I think so. It'd be interesting to see his thoughts on it now, looking back. He's been away from it for a while. I think he stopped coaching maybe what would it be 10 years ago now, roughly. So, yeah, like I was obviously great for me and him. We spent a lot of time together, kind of father son time away from the house and away from the farm. He probably didn't like he had to pick up all my mates on the way to training. So he had a full. We used to have a big Volvo XC90. It used to be full with kids on the way to rugby training every Tuesday, Thursday. But yeah, I'd like to think he really enjoyed it and really enjoyed kind of the memories we made doing it. And also he also made some friends from it as well that he still knows now. And yeah, look, I'd like to think he enjoyed getting to do it.
Good. Now, a question coming here. What do you talk about farming to your fellow players? Do you take them to the farm? And I suppose with a sort of education hat on, you know, do they know much about your unit or farming, or do you get the sort of daft questions while folk are lacing up their boots on a Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah, there is a few daft ones, yeah, but most of the boys now are just kind of are curious when stuff pops up about like the thing about the Bovaer trials recently and the thing about inheritance tax when they're coming to training. Boys will be constantly asking me, "Oh, what's going on? How does this affect you? Does this do this?" When I first joined the academy, a lot of the older players who were having kids would ask me if I could bring raw milk up from the farm. That was the one I used to get a lot. "Oh, can you just boil it up and bring it up for me, please? I won't tell anyone. I won't tell anyone." So thankfully, we didn't do any of that. But yeah, no, most boys have an interest in it. And there's actually a couple of guys who we play with from South Africa who come from farming backgrounds. So it's nice to chat to them about kind of the differences between farming culture over there and farming culture over here and their plans for after rugby as well.
Cool. No, that it's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, you're in an environment where people know and trust you, but they know you're a farmer, so they feel comfortable to ask those questions. And I think, many farmers don't have that non-farmer interaction. So, no, it's good. What about food? You say your partner's a nutritionist. Do you think knowing where your food comes from has helped you be a better athlete and professional sports person?
Yeah, definitely. It's something I've actually put a lot more focus on the last couple of years. I think as I probably become a bit more professional in looking after my body, I think when I was 21, 22, and I'm about to turn 27 at the end of February, and I'd always hear 27, 28-year-olds at that time going, "Oh, I'm so sore in the morning." Like you don't know how lucky you have it at 21, 22. You can just get up in the morning and go straight to training. And as I was like, "Oh, 26, 27 is not that old. I'll be fine." But now I've got to that age, I'm thinking I actually really need to take care of my body because it was an extremely stressful job on your body what we put it through. So I've put a lot more focus and stuff onto the stuff I put into my body. And thankfully Lauren's quite helpful with that. So trying to stick to whole foods as much as possible and make sure we're trying to buy good quality stuff.
I thought it was interesting your comment about raw milk. I know an Edinburgh player who used to put a lot of pressure on a local dairy farm and turned up on a few occasions with a sort of bucket and was just wanting to drop it in the bulk tank. So it's interesting that that's the sort of things that people are thinking about. So there's been some high profile English players have talked about recovery from injury. I think it was Marlow with a broken foot or ankle. And he credited his fast return to sport back to milk, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. There's been a few of the boys who live in Scotstoun, which is next to the stadium. They get their milk delivered. Kind of in the old glass bottle, and they absolutely love it, and they rave on it. So, George Horn's one of them. He reckons he has 3 pints of milk a day, when his training days to help him recover. So he's a big advocate for it. I think obviously there was a period going through COVID when quite a lot of people were diverting away from real whole milk and going to kind of coconut milk or oat milk. But I've definitely seen a change in the last year with boys going back to whole milk and stuff like that because it's something we consume a lot of at training and in coffees and protein shakes and stuff. So it's nice to see boys transitioning back to whole milk.
Yeah, we had a member of the family who started to get eczema and they thought it might be milk or egg linked and tried various different milks. And some of these fake milks are really high in sugar and caused all sorts of other problems. So, it's like anything, find out what works for you. And as you say, whole foods are probably the way forward. Any other sports? Do you do any other sports through childhood or school or anything else you play at the moment?
So I played a lot of tennis growing up. I was part of the kind of Cubri tennis club. And we played a lot out in the farm as well. So that was really good. It was something I really enjoyed playing. It was another social aspect, something that I enjoyed doing after school. I was also big into football. I played a lot of football at school and played for kind of my local team as well. And I guess maybe at one point I think I stopped playing rugby for a little bit and started playing football a lot often. I think maybe when I was 13 or 14. And again, it was something that Dad was never really too fussed about. He was kind of just as long as I was out playing sport. I think he always knew deep down that I would come back to rugby eventually. But yeah, I think there are two sports that have obviously needed good hand-eye coordination to play, and they're things that have definitely benefited me in my rugby career, especially football. And one of my parts of my game is I'm a good kicker of the ball, and it's something I definitely developed a lot from playing football and that left foot that I've got. So. Yeah, I wouldn't change anything in terms of what I'd done. In terms of sports, I wish I'd played golf. I always remember thinking about now at Kukubi Golf Club, Dad offered me golf lessons and I turned them down. If I could go back, I'd definitely take them now, because it's something that a lot of the boys in the season, especially when we get to the later end of the season, will go and play golf on days off, and kind of post-season going away to play golf. And it's something that I've not got into since I've been a pro either. So maybe I'll need to change that, but it's one I wish I had got into.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So, one of the pieces that we've talked about is continuing to learn, keep learning. And I started golfing in my 40s. And I'm terrified that my 9-year-old's going to be able to beat me in the next couple of years. But I've really enjoyed learning something new later because I was reasonably good at rugby, but I'd done that since I was little. So, yeah, I would say it's never too late. And certainly not 20, in your 20s, it's too late.
Yeah, there
It's
is quite a
learning.
lot of the boys at training are really good golfers. Will have low handicaps, probably 10 and under. So it's daunting picking up, knowing that the people you're most likely to play with are really good. So you don't want to be holding them up on their day off when you're 3 holes behind in a wood somewhere. So yeah, maybe it's something I need to revisit.
We'll have a farm strong golf day and you can come along.
Yeah.
So Safford, you've been very generous with your time tonight and on the podcast and other times. Why do you want to be engaged with Farm Strong? What makes this an attractive use of your time, especially given the pressure you're under at this time of year?
Yeah, I think I guess when the charity reached out and when I found out more about the charity and what they're trying to do, it's something that actually resonated with me. Both as a pro rugby player and from that year I spent working on the farm, kind of when I was out of school, and that was my main focus, is you realise that farming can be a lonely life, and it can be a struggle, and it's not all out on the farm on a sunny day, walking around the fields with animals. It can be stressful, and it can be cold, and it can be lonely. And then transferring that up into a pro rugby career, it's not all running out on a Saturday night with fireworks going off and people cheering. It's long, cold days out on the training pitch, injury, non-selection, kind of coming home and being tired and sore and stuff like that. So it's, I guess it's that's things the charity are looking to promote and help people understand that that's okay to feel that way, that it's not all going to be laughs and sunny and having a good time. There's going to be times you're going to have to deal with hardship as well.
Yeah, and I think all of us have got different things of what we need to do to look after ourselves, and that's whether that's being a farmer, a crofter, or a professional sports person. We enjoyed hearing from Sam Whitelock, obviously an international like yourself, long career, but at times he was just desperate to get back to the farm and get away from the pressure. But he also accepted that there were different pressures that he didn't have as a sports person. So it's interesting. I don't know if you can. It's about getting balance.
Yeah, definitely.
I suppose for me, we all talk about getting a break, and I think you're using the farm as get a break from rugby, but then other people might be using sport as a break from the farm.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see. That's the thing, is when you work out for a living, it's almost tough to find out what you can do to get away from it, because a lot of people choose working out as their release and their way to exert energy and get away from it. But if you've worked out all week and then you've got a game you've got to be fresh for on a Saturday, you can't take your mind away from things by going for a run or going to the gym, because that's what you've been doing the whole week. So like I said, it's important to have to other ways and ways that suit you, have been able to kind of find that release and get rid of some stress.
Yeah. And how do you check in on yourself? So you've obviously got sports psychologists, you've got a nutritionist partner, you've got other people looking out for you. How do you keep track of your own sort of mood and feelings?
Yeah, I think it's just something I try to just keep an eye on every day, how I'm feeling. And like I said, going back to earlier, it sounds mundane and it sounds boring, but I know if I'm eating well, I'm getting good amounts of sleep, I'm doing my training well, then generally I'm mentally going to be in a really good spot, and I'm going to be okay. It's when I start to slip from that routine, and maybe you'll have a couple of nights where you don't get a good sleep or you don't eat well, and it all sounds like really basic stuff, but those little things all add up to overall good, I think, a good mental health and a kind of good base to push off from.
Yeah, so get the basics right and then everything else can float from
Yeah,
there.
I think, yeah, the consistency of it as well. It's kind of, you are what you do every day. So that kind of stuff of, if I do that every day, then like I said, I know I'm going to be in a good spot.
Very good. So you love rugby. What do you love about rugby?
I love the camaraderie of rugby. I love the fact that we kind of just, especially with Glasgow Warriors, you maybe the squad's 45 people pulled from all over the world, and then you manage to find this perfect balance where on a Saturday you're all willing to go out on an acre of grass and put your bodies on line for each other, and the kind of brotherhood you build from that. And it's something I think I'll keep for the rest of my life, is like they say, warriors, once a warrior, always a warrior. And it's definitely true. You see people who have left the club, always miss the club, always want to come back to the club. I mean, people who have signed for different clubs usually end up coming back at some point in their career to come play for Glasgow Warriors again. So, and our coach Franco Smith always talks about, like, last year in the run into the final of the league, he said that this is the kind of thing in 30 years' time you'll be on a WhatsApp group with everyone in this room and you'll still talk about when we went and we won the league, or when we did this. So remember when that happened. So I think for me, it's, I talk about a lot is with my rugby, I want to make memories that when I'm on the farm and I look back, I can be really proud of and really happy that I achieved those things. So yeah, I guess just the camaraderie and the mates you make along the way.
Good. What do you love about farming?
I'm not really sure yet, to be honest. When I was home, I guess I loved getting to be part of the family business and feel like I was carrying that on and contributing to what we've done as a family and on our family farm, which is our home. At the time, I loved getting to work with my dad. I loved getting to be at home. I like working with animals, especially dairy cows. So it's something that I've still got to do a lot of delving into and into what I'm going to love. But again, I think, like we talked about, a lot of the links between that and rugby are similar. It's the hard work, it's the long days, it's the feeling of accomplishment when you achieve something, when you know you've worked hard for it. So those are all the things that I'm hoping are going to carry over from rugby into the farming world and kind of really benefit me and give me that kind of same sense of achievement that I get now.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people in the farming community forget is that they can see the fruit of their labors, and
Yeah.
that's the sport. You get out what you put in. So we've got 10 minutes to go or so. So folks, please do put questions forward. There's some good numbers coming through, but now's the time to ask Stafford. You don't get many chances like this to pop questions at people like that. So please do pop them in the chat, and we'll try and pick up as many as we can. For me, I'm a frustrated farmer. I didn't get to be a farmer. I'm probably not a frustrated rugby player. I got to the level that I was good enough to get to. What would you do other than that? What are the next big challenges for you? So you go home, and 10 years' time, you're successful in the business. It's where it wants to be. Have you got any other sort of ambitions other than to get sub 10 golf handicap? Now we heard that here first.
Yeah, look, I've not really thought a lot about kind of the last couple of years since I decided I was going to go home. A lot of stuff outside of rugby has been kind of thinking about, I guess, what I want that life to look like. I guess one of the main things will be is, like, I just want to be happy and I want to be enjoying it. And like we talked about, I want to be in a good space with my mental health and make sure I'm in the right place for kind of me and my family as well, whether that's my family, my dad, and my sisters, or me and Lauren, and whatever kind of family we have at that kind of point. So, I think people obviously, you'll know with farming that it kind of take over your life a little bit as well. It's a full-time job, 365 days a year. So, at the moment, my mind's kind of on, once I finish rugby, how do I take control of that? So I'm in a good spot that I can do that to a really good standard. I've not really thought too much about outside of rugby and farming, really.
Have you been doing any studying, or are you full on just playing at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm studying. I'm doing a degree in business management at the University of Strathclyde. At the moment, so I'm halfway through my second year. I guess it's not really got a direct link to farming. I'm hoping that the degree will give me a good idea of how to run a business and how a business runs and the different aspects of it. So when I do hit the farm, then I've got an idea of how to run that side of it and the farming stuff I can pick up into a bit more detail.
Yeah, no, I would disagree with you there. As a former bank manager lending to farmers, business degrees have a lot to do with farming, and
Yeah.
it's really important that for all businesses to understand how it works. So, best of luck with that, and hope that continues to go well.
Yeah, thank you. That's something they really push us to do at Warriors is to have something to focus on outside of rugby. So we have a guy called Stuart Dow who deals with that stuff. He tries to get us all into something focused when we finish playing, because, like you say, it can finish whenever. So once I got into that, it kind of calmed me down a little bit. I was on the right track in terms of putting the first steps in for going home.
Good. Well, best of luck with that. What lessons can farmers learn from professional sports people? That's a great question.
Yeah, I think there's loads. I think resilience is the biggest one. Like you talked about, a lot of people will look at professional rugby playing, oh, you get to go and run about for a living and you get to play in front of 10,000 people at the weekend and win games and go abroad and travel. But a lot of rugby is, especially like we said here in Scotland, is cold, wet days down at Scotstoun, out on the pitch when you're sore and you maybe got a knock and you're sore to train and stuff like that. So that's a lot of that can transfer over to farming in terms of there might just be a day when you think everything's going wrong and nothing can go right, but it's that resilience of just learning that it will pass and there will be those good days again. I guess in terms of communication, if you're a farmer and you've got staff, it's that way of communicating with people in the right way and not everyone's the same. It's something I've learned with rugby, especially kind of getting older and being in the leadership group at Glasgow. It's not every person responds to the same type of communication. You've got to learn to speak to people in different ways to get the best out of them.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. It was interesting. My 9-year-old said he didn't need to do his homework tonight because he didn't need to be able to explain diagrams. And I said to him, "Do you think a professional sportsman, when he gets a diagram from Gregor Townsend, says, 'Oh, I don't need to learn that'? What do you think? Does he think he gets dropped, or do you think he gets to play the game?" That he probably gets dropped. So I think, you know, it comes both ways. Six Nations coming ahead, you know, as a rugby fan, it's the time of year where I love, you know, a lot of people say winter and the dark nights, but actually for me, turn of the year means Six Nations. That means people come together and they get a lot of excitement. But for a rugby player, it just means it's the business end of the season, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Like we touched on earlier, outside of the World Cup, which only comes every 4 years, it's the biggest rugby tournament in the world. And I think especially for Scotland now and in recent years have become really competitive in the competition. So it's even more reason to be excited for it. And like you say, when you look past that, then the run into the end of the season is so quick for Six Nations that it basically just comes in a blur after that. You're into European Champions Cup playoffs, you're into URC playoffs, and then all of a sudden you're into the run into the finals. So I guess once the Six Nations starts for all the players, it's the start of the business end of the season and it's the point where you really want to start winning stuff.
Yeah. Now, this season is a different season as well. There's an extra dimension to every international playing this season for the UK because they're starting to think of a red jersey as well with the British and Irish Lions tour back end of the summer. You know, obviously, third week in June, you would normally be at the Highland Show, but, you know, do you let your mind wander to a little trip to Dublin for the first Lions game and then being on the flight plane to Australia?
I think every player who's grown up in the UK will always dream of one, playing for country, and two, playing for the British Lions. As you get older in the professional rugby world, it's that you realise everyone's at such a high standard, and maybe the dream is a bit further in you think, and then all of a sudden you get a chance to be in a Six Nations squad, and it gets a bit closer. So, yeah. You'd be lying if you wouldn't say it would add an extra bit to the Six Nations with boys who've been on the tour before and boys who are pushing to be on the tour for the first time, going at it 4 months before the tour squad's picked. So yeah, definitely adds something a bit extra to the competition.
Yeah, but we've seen this week with news from the Scotland camp that injuries can come at any time. You know, you can be on form. So, and you've talked about being surprised when there wasn't a contract available to you. I think you talked earlier about resilience, and it's just being able to cope with those ups as well as the downs, I guess.
Yeah, like it's something I touched on before we came on live. It's when I became a professional rugby player, it was one of those things I'll just be able to do it till I don't want to do it anymore, and I'll be able to keep getting contracts and not in an arrogant way, but just in you love it so much and you enjoy doing it, you never really thought about it being taken away from you, and you know injuries there as part of it, but in terms of not being given a contract, you don't really think about that side of it. Then all of a sudden, that was just landed on my lap that I potentially wasn't going to be kept on it. Glasgow Warriors, so it's something I had to deal with in a short space of time, and like I said, Dad was really good, and he let me know that the farm was there to go back to if it wasn't there as a rugby journey. But then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, I was offered a 1 year extension on my contract to stay and give it a shot for another year. So there was a tough 2 weeks in the middle of all that, some tough conversations with myself and with my mates who are at the club who obviously wanted to see me stay as well. So thankfully, we got through it, and put it behind us and managed to push on from there and achieve some of the things I wanted to.
Dude, it's a bit about perspective. Your dad saying the farm's here if you need it, that's great. But also a bit of context from other people and then saying, I'm going to try and make this work. So thanks for sharing all that. Claire Dickinson's reminded us that Sam Whitelock last year talked about how he exercises while brushing his teeth. I think that was for his proprioception, a habit that he does every day. Are there any habits you could give to us to be better at what we need to be doing that you've developed?
I don't exercise and brush my teeth. That's for sure. I like to that's usually just before I go to bed. My eyes are just about closed at that point. Any good habits that I have? I think if I was thinking about this today actually, and the other day when I finished playing, what will I do exercise wise? So I've obviously spent the last 10 years of my life pushing my body to the absolute limits, trying to get every drop out of it as possible. But when I retired, do I keep going to the gym every day? Do I keep working out? I think at the end I was like, oh, it'll just be something that works for me. I think that's the main thing when you're looking at this mental health, and you've just got to find the stuff that works for you. And whether for Sam that was his proprioception improved when he was brushing his teeth, but I think that for me might be 2 or 3 gym sessions a week and staying and eating healthy. But in terms of good habits, that'll probably be what I look to do when I retire.
Great. Stafford, that has been fantastic. We've really appreciated hearing from you, especially in the run-up to Six Nations. There's all the people on this chat, on this webinar tonight, and all the people from the farming community in Scotland will be keeping an extra special eye on those Six Nations fixtures to see how you get on. So all the best for that. And watch the spaces for that part of the business season and also for the later on in the league campaign. These sports linked webinars are all on the Farmstrong website, which is farmstrongscotland.org.uk. We've got the Sam Whitelock one, and we've also got Ira McKenzie, which was a great one from F1. So please do take a look at that as well as our resources. The whole point of Farmstrong is about finding things that work for you to have better well-being, better physical well-being, mental well-being, to be able to be in a good place to run your farm or croft. We've heard some great examples from Stafford about how he looks after himself to be an elite sports person. And I think we can all aspire to improving our standards of health and well-being, maybe not to the highest levels of physical fitness that you are, Stafford. But thank you very much for that. And you've also recorded a podcast with us, Stafford, which was great. And I know that's still available on the website as well for people to follow up. So we promised we'd finish on time. We've got about 30 seconds to go. So, any final reflections for Farmstrong Scotland viewers for health and well-being?
Yeah, I think I talked about in the podcast about just don't be afraid to share your feelings and with your friends and the people around you. It's something we've developed quite well at Warriors, as we're a pretty open group, and we're happy to discuss if with your mates if you're having an up day or a down day. There's nothing wrong with doing that and getting your feelings off your chest. I think when we talk about a problem shared is a problem halved. So if you can do that and share your issues, you'll often find there's an easy solution to them.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good sentiment to end on, Stafford. Thank you very much. If you're watching here tonight and you want us to be involved in an event or to engage more with Farmstrong, please do say hello and let us know what you can do to help. There's also local groups popping up all over Scotland where peer-to-peer support from farmers and crofters to each other are starting to develop. There's opportunities to fundraise. There's an ab sale in May if you want to ab sale down the Port of Leith building in Edinburgh. If you're really keen on that, you can stop me from having to do it. And there's other ways to get involved as well. I think there might be a rugby game following later on in the year as well. So, Stafford McDowell, all the best to Six Nations and thank you very much for joining us. Thanks to everyone else for joining us on this evening and be sure to share the word that Farmstrong is here in Scotland. These podcasts and webinar seminars are on the website as well as all of our resources. So thanks very much and good night.